Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I'm David Bowes, your host. In this podcast, we'll explore the controversy surrounding the passage of Tennessee's Senate Bill 893, which allows teachers to discuss scientific controversies with their students. Because this includes controversies involving evolutionary theory, this bill is being denounced as the new monkey bill and proof that Tennessee is trying to put religion in the classrooms. Is it true? What does the Tennessee bill really do? Here to talk about it with me is the Discovery Institute's Casey Luskin. What does Tennessee Senate Bill 893 purport to do, Casey, and is it necessary?
Tennessee Senate Bill 893 is an academic freedom bill, and what it does is it protects the rights of teachers to talk about scientific problems or the evidence for and against controversial scientific theories, and it lists a few. Those include biological evolution, the chemical origin of life, global warming and human cloning, and really any controversial scientific theories that are part of a curriculum are covered by this bill. So it would protect the rights of teachers that choose to teach about scientific evidence for and against these controversial theories without the teachers having to fear for their jobs. Is it necessary? Well, I think it is. When we look at this issue nationally, we see that there has been a pattern of teachers feeling intimidated from being able to talk about scientific controversies in the classroom, especially these hot-button scientific issues like Darwinian evolution or global warming or human cloning. Teachers are scared to feel like they have the academic freedom to fully explore these topics scientifically in the classroom. And what academic freedom bills do is they protect the rights of teachers to do this without having to worry about losing their jobs. So it creates a statutory right of academic freedom to discuss these controversies in the classroom.
Now, this Tennessee Senate Bill 893 actually passed with both Republican and Democrat support. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's right. It passed out of the Tennessee State Senate on March 19th, I believe, and it enjoyed bipartisan support from all of the Republicans and over 35% of the Democrats. We've talked about this before in ID the Future. The stereotype is that it's only the hardcore right-wing fundamentalists or something like that that are the ones that want to have scientific critiques of evolution taught in the classroom. That is not true at all. When you look at poll data, when you look at the way legislatures vote on these kinds of issues, we see extremely broad bipartisan support because we're only asking that teachers have the freedom to fully teach their students about these scientific topics. And this is not about bringing religion in the classroom. It only protects the rights of teachers to talk about science. And these are important scientific values. And I think common sense folks out there agree with this position.
The National Center for Science Education is calling it a new Tennessee monkey bill, linking it to the law that criminalized the teaching of evolution and was explored in the famous Scopes trial. Is that comparison even remotely accurate?
It's really about 180 degrees inaccurate for the NCSE to be comparing this bill to the monkey bill. The monkey bill was a bill that was passed in the 1920s by the Tennessee state legislature that actually criminalized the teaching of evolution, and that ultimately led to the Scopes trial. Now, of course, that was a terrible bill because it's criminalizing the teaching of a scientific theory. Nobody wants to have scientific theories criminalized, and we would never want to say that if you teach the evidence for evolution that somehow you're committing a crime. I mean, that's a terrible kind of approach. The Academic Freedom Bill in Tennessee does the exact opposite. Rather than saying you can't teach a scientific subject, it says you can teach a scientific subject. It says that you cannot fire a teacher if they choose to teach about the controversial evidence for and against Darwinian evolution. It says if a teacher does this, you can't get rid of them. You have to permit them to responsibly teach about the scientific evidence for and against controversial theories like evolution. So I think that it's very ironic that the NCSE would compare this to a monkey bill when it's doing the exact opposite. In fact, if anybody out there is trying to censor certain views today in 2012, it's the NCSE. They're the ones that go around saying that schools should not be allowed to teach the scientific evidence that challenges evolution. So now that we're 85 years past the Scopes trial, things have changed a lot. It's now the proponents of evolution, the Darwin lobby. They're the ones that are out there trying to censor and squash certain minority viewpoints, whereas the skeptics of Darwinian evolution were the ones fighting for academic freedom to talk about science in the classroom. So I think that it's ironic that the NCSE is calling this a monkey bill. Their tactics, frankly, are more closely in resemblance to the Tennessee state legislature in the 1920s.
How does the Tennessee State Senate Bill 893 explicitly exclude religion from the classroom? And how have critics reacted to this portion of the bill so far?
The bill in Tennessee contains an express section that says that it does not protect the teaching of religion and it only protects the teaching of science. Let me just read the language from this section. It says, quote, This section only protects the teaching of scientific information and shall not be construed to promote any religious or non-religious doctrine, promote discrimination for or against a particular set of religious beliefs or non-beliefs, or promote discrimination for or against religion or non-religion. So you can't make it any clearer. This bill does not protect religion. It only protects the teaching of scientific information. So how have critics responded? Well, they basically just ignored that section and pretended that it didn't exist. And they've gone around widely claiming that somehow the Tennessee Academic Freedom Bill would bring religion or creationism into the classroom. As a matter of fact, there's been a flurry of news stories in some of the left-leaning news outlets like the Huffington Post or Think Progress or the UK's Guardian, all of which are saying that somehow this bill would bring, quote unquote, religious doctrine or creationism or theology into the classroom. When you read the actual text of the bill, you realize that's impossible. The bill would not protect the teaching of religion. If a teacher did teach religion, they would not be protected by this bill. So the bill would basically not cover them, and a teacher would be subject to the standard kinds of repercussions and discipline that they would normally be subjected to by both federal and state law, which prohibits the advocacy of religion in public schools. So I think that the critics are desperate to find a talking point to oppose academic freedom, and so they basically are misrepresenting the bill by saying it would bring religion in the classroom.
They've gone to the old standby without actually reading the text. Now, the Oklahoma House of Representatives is also engaged in a battle for academic freedom. Describe what the passage of House Bill 1551 in Oklahoma means for students and teachers.
The Oklahoma state actually was a state house, not the state Senate quite yet. But so far, the House of Representatives in Oklahoma has overwhelmingly again passed an academic freedom bill. It passed by a vote of 56-12, and it now awaits consideration by the Oklahoma State Senate. This bill is very similar to the one that we saw in Tennessee, and that it only protects the teaching of scientific information. It also contains a clause which says that it only protects teaching of science. It does not protect the teaching of religion. And the operative language there again says teachers would be allowed to review in an objective manner the scientific strengths and scientific weaknesses of existing scientific theories pertinent to the course being taught. So this is very good language, and it would allow teachers in Oklahoma to teach students fully about these controversial scientific topics.
That concludes this edition of ID the Future. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture, please go to idthefuture.com and click the yellow donate button. This podcast is copyright 2012, The Discovery Institute. All rights reserved.